how do we rewire our brain to have as much confidence in the fact that we could win as we have in the fact that we could fail? Today we're talking about breaking the cycle of fear in our lives and in our businesses. Welcome to today's episode of God is CEO. This is Olivia Omega, entrepreneur, wife, mom, and firm believer that our entrepreneurial purpose goes beyond our products and services. Join me on a journey as we elevate God's role in life, family, relationships, and entrepreneurship by taking cues from the ultimate chief executive officer. Every day is an opportunity to trust his handcrafted plan and make God CEO. Hey y'all, you all, how's it going? I have been hanging in there and I hope that you are hanging in there as well. It has been an interesting time and I feel like I've been saying that all year. We've all been saying that all year. It's an interesting time. It really is an interesting time. And I took a little bit of a hiatus simply because if you've ever been in a place where grief takes over. I've been battling with grief. I've been battling with loss and the roller coaster ride of the feelings, the complexity of that. And what I've been kind of going through is needing to take a pause and not stop, but pause and really deal with my emotions and really deal with grief that kind of settled in and distracted me from what I need to be doing. So I am here. I've never left, but thank you for joining me. Today we're talking about breaking the cycle of fear in our lives and in our businesses. And as we sit here in a place where we don't have a clear president for 2021, the election is still going. It feels like the longest election ever, and it actually is the longest election. A lot of us are not sleeping, and a lot of us are super distracted, can't focus, can't get work done, lost our appetite, different things, not just from the election, but from COVID-19 and schools opening and now schools closing and family members getting sick and so many things going on. And what I want to remind you and what I remind myself every day is God is still God. God is still on the throne. God is still in control. God still has a plan. God had a plan. He still has a plan. He will have a plan. And that plan is for our good. And so today we're going to kind of dissect that a little bit of breaking the cycle. How do we break the cycle of fear? And where that starts is we have to really kind of back up and look at what fear is and understand the construct of fear. And fear is all in our mind, right? So the construct of fear lives between our two ears. It lives in our head. And it's interesting because when you think about kids and not having fear, a lot of kids don't fear things, especially toddlers. Toddlers are the worst. Toddlers and teens, I'm telling you, toddlers and teens are the worst sometimes because they don't, that construct of fear isn't quite there. So if you remember ever as a kid or if you have kids touching the stove, because the stove was this mesmerizing, like amazing, magical, what is this thing that lights up or has flames coming out of it, or touching something that was hot, and not having a fear of that thing until you experience that thing. And so then after you touch it, as parents, we always say this, it'll take one time, touch it, and they won't touch it again. Or I remember my son at 3 wanting so badly to go outside and play and literally figuring out, oh, I can actually turn the knob of the front door and open this door and experience the outside and experience this freedom and run my little butt across the street where there are cars and me freaking out and running out there and screaming and yelling. And he didn't have fear of cars. What's a car? How, like, what could that do to me? But because we know the possible, we know the possibilities, right? We know the downside as adults. And as we step out into entrepreneurship and running our own companies and launching businesses and sometimes doing the unthinkable and jumping and leaping into things that we know that the risk, right? We know that there's a possibility that this won't work because we are have experienced these things as adults, or we have seen other people experience these things because we know. It's like that notion of ignorance is bliss. Well, because we know, we have this fear now that is inside of us because we know what is possible. But what I want to encourage you is to shift that thinking of fear to the opposite side, to that positive side. So fear is a strong emotion caused by anticipation or an awareness of something. And a lot of times that is, for us, hurt, danger, being, you know, destroyed, demolished, humiliated, humiliation. But technically, a strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness, that emotion could be victory. It could be triumph. It could be that we win. So if we have in our mind, and hopefully I can say this eloquently enough so that you can get it. If we have in our mind this notion that we could fail, it's a possibility. And I don't even want to talk about percentages. Maybe that's a 50% chance of failure. We are so sure in our minds, or that failure is so real in our minds and in our gut, right? That we don't move forward out of fear. But if our mind is so sure about that, why can't we be sure about the flip of that? Why can't we be sure about the victory? We don't know if we're going to fail or not. It's a, let's say, 50-50% chance. That means on the other side of that coin, there is success. We win. We can do it. We achieve what we set out to do. How do we rewire our brain to have as much confidence in the fact that we could win as we have in the fact that we could fail? Think about that. If we could rewire our brain to have just as much confidence in the chances that we win as we have confidence in the chance that we could fail, we could unstick ourselves from being paralyzed. We could move forward, even though we might be afraid, we do it anyway. And more importantly, most importantly, we trust God. We trust Him to carry us. We trust Him to guide us, to direct us, to order our steps, to guide our thoughts and our mind, to settle the fearful thoughts and to rise up in us the thoughts of victory, the confidence that we will win. So I was talking to a friend yesterday who hasn't slept because of the election and because we're in limbo, right? We're in this place where, who is our president? We just want to know. We just want to move forward. We just want to move on. We want to move from 2020, move into 2021 with the cards that we're going to have to play. Give us the cards at least so we know what the deal is. And she couldn't sleep. And it was like 5:30 in the morning and still hadn't gone to sleep waiting for this result of who the president will be. And I was thinking, gosh, I get it, because I don't know about you, but I'm super sensitive. And I think sensitive in my physical being. So if there's things going on from a spiritual place, an emotional place, I experience those things physically, and those physical things can be insomnia. It can be loss of appetite, or like butterflies in my stomach, and the butterflies could be good or bad. So on the flip of that, for good things, so this isn't always just like anxiety and depression, but on the flip of that, when there's excitement for really cool things and opportunities that I get to do, or, you know, seeing your kids achieve something for the first time, whatever that might be, I still get those physical symptoms. So I still can't sleep, like Christmas, right? Kids and Christmas. I still get butterflies in my stomach. I still sometimes lose my appetite, or I feel like I've got the jitters. My heart can be racing. And sometimes it could be super slight too. It's like my heart isn't beating out of my chest, but I can feel it. Good and bad, I feel it. And so if you're like that, then you might be even a place that is even more difficult right now in the election, where you can't sleep, where you're like, I'm at peace, I'm okay, but I'm still having this physical reaction. And this for me is where prayer and meditation and breathing techniques really come into play. They're a huge, huge help. Sometimes I'll reframe the word afraid, because who wants to say that? I even stop myself when it comes out of my mouth. Gosh, I'm afraid that blah, blah, blah. I'm not afraid. I trust God. So I'll say, okay, no, I'm not afraid. I'm concerned. Have you ever done that before, where you change the words, especially with kids, because I don't want to instill fear into them? So with COVID-19, for example, and different things, our daughter wanted to go to a party. And so I don't want to say, I'm afraid that you will contract COVID. I don't live in fear. We don't walk in fear. I want to encourage you to not walk in fear. So instead, I would say, I'm concerned. Or even better, I want to be mindful. That's like my new thing. Let's be mindful about this situation, instead of I'm concerned or I'm afraid. So I'm changing my vernacular, which is good, because words are everything. And what we say, and I've said this many times before, what comes out of our mouth is so meaningful and can be life or death to our situation. However, those words have to also match how we carry ourselves and what we truly believe in our heart. I could change the word and I could say, I just want to be mindful, but in reality, I'm afraid. How do we break the fear, which is the topic of today? Breaking that cycle of fear in our lives, in our business, in our family. We could change the words all we want, but if in our heart and in our spirit we're still afraid, then we haven't really shifted anything. We haven't really become unstuck. There was a moment in time when I was going through a mall here in Denver, and I was trying to get through this mall with two babies. I had a baby and a toddler. So a two-year-old and a four-year-old. And maybe it was one and three, I don't remember. But they were little. Trying to navigate a mall by myself. And I've got the, you know, massive stroller, and pushing the stroller with one hand. Y'all mamas out there have done this, and you have mastered it. Pushing the stroller with one hand, and then I'm holding the hand of the four-year-old with my other hand, right? And I'm killing it, y'all. I'm like, this is parenting. I got this. I'm good. And we get to, dun, 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 the escalator. Now, we could have taken the elevator, but this was also holiday season. The mall is pretty busy. The line to get up the elevator, like all the stuff, right? I don't want my kids touching, like, I don't know. It's just whatever. So we decided not to take the elevator. We decided to take the escalator. Plus, the four-year-old was like mesmerized by it. We had never taken the escalator before. As a four-year-old, looks so cool. These people are riding up it. They're riding down it. They're getting to the top, getting to the bottom. So we attempt it.
You're listening to God is CEO podcast, where we talk about God's handcrafted plan for our lives and our businesses.
And if you've ever attempted an escalator with a stroller, you know that it takes some navigating and some maneuvering of lifting up the back wheels of the stroller, anchoring the front wheels onto the step of the escalator and holding on and lifting while you're holding to get the stroller up the escalator. I'm thinking back on this, and as I am replaying the story to you right now, I'm like, Olivia, what were you thinking? Just wait. Just wait and take the elevator, right? Which I should have done, but I didn't. And a lot of you don't, and it's okay. And I have seen that mom on the elevator, and I'm like praying for her. Like, God, please bless this woman who is trying to take these children up with a stroller on the escalator. Going up is tricky. But going down is like a death sentence. And this is where I tried it once and I never did it again. Because going down on the escalator, gravity is pulling this stroller forward. It's really tricky, if not possible, to anchor those front wheels. You still have to lift up the back wheels, but lifting the back wheels make the front wheels potentially slide. There's a lot of issues going on right here. Lots of issues. So in this first and last attempt of going down the escalator with the toddler and the stroller, somehow that toddler got left. So I'm focusing on the stroller and trying to make sure it didn't plummet to the ground and let go of the toddler's hand, but I thought the toddler was on the step right next to me. And then I hear this, "Mommy!" And I look behind me and the toddler was left on the second level of the mall. Well, but now I gotta tell the toddler to calm down. So now I'm yelling up the escalator, "It's okay, Mommy's here. Stay right there." Over and over again, "Stay right there." So the panic kind of comes on her face. You see the little tears kind of well up. And now I got people looking at me. And you know that the escalator down is not in the same place sometimes as the escalator up. So now I have to say, "Stay right there. Mommy's coming," but I have to go around and go get the up escalator. Anyway, I say all this to say there is a level of fear in the toddler of stepping on these stairs that are moving. She saw what was down, and it happened, just so happened to be that Santa was down those escalators, which is why we were going down there to visit Santa and get the whole picture thing happening. So she saw what was down there. I know that I want to go there. It looks joyful. I know that there is this great thing on the other side. I even kind of like this escalator because it looks cool. But now you're talking about me actually stepping out onto it. I have to take this physical action and step. Now I'm afraid, and now I'm stuck, and now I can't move. And so we're dealing with that in our lives right now, through 2020, through COVID-19, through loss, through grief, through the presidential election, through all of the unknowns of economic downturn, through our business. Is our business going to survive or not? And we see this escalator, and we know we need to get on it. We know we need to move forward, and we're afraid, and so we stop and we do nothing. And I want to speak to those people listening to this right now who are stuck and doing nothing, that it's okay to take a pause, which is what I had to do over the last month or so, to pause, to regroup, to pray yourself up, to gird yourself, to seek your Heavenly Father, to get direction, to rest. It's okay. But when that is over and when that is done, now it's time to trust our Heavenly Father. Now it's time to trust Him. It's time to take those next steps, to understand, "God, what do you want me to do in this situation now? We're coming up to the end of the year. How do I move forward? How do I behave? What's my direction?" Can I get an amen? There's also sometimes this fear of being figured out. I have been there. And I don't know that as human beings, I don't think we're ever in a place where we're never like, oh, what if they figure us out? What if they figure me out and what if I'm not as good at this as I thought I was or that I was? What if I'm getting up there in age and I just don't have the tenacity that it takes to be an entrepreneur and a business owner right now in this day and age? What if they figure me out? It's a natural notion. It's a natural thought. It's that imposter syndrome sort of thing. So it's okay to have those feelings. But then again, it's like, all right, pause. Seek your Heavenly Father. You know, pull up your boots, strap them, and let's keep moving. Let's keep going. Let's move past fear. Let's trust God. Going back to the notion of fear, fear also means a profound reverence and awe towards God. Isn't that interesting? I've always actually thought about this. Why does this word mean those two same things? And it's really the flip and the other side of two coins, right? On one side, we have fear that is caused by the anticipation and awareness of danger or hurt. And the word fear also means the profound reverence and awe towards God. Wow, why? Why is that? Our English language is incredible. And I know that there aren't any coincidences. So on the other side of fear, we have fear. The reverence of God and the knowing how amazing and incredible, how omnipresent, how omnipotent He is. And that we can trust Him. Anxiousness and nervousness come from the same chemicals and physical response in our brains as excitement, joy. And again, that's why kids can't sleep on Christmas and we can't sleep during the election because of the anxiousness and nervousness that's coming up. But we can flip that. Every time I speak, every time I get on stage and talk, and it doesn't matter if it's a crowd of 15, 50 people or 1,000 people, I get nervous. Even if I'm confident and I'm excited because I thrive on stage. I love it. I love it, love it. If I could just live out the rest of my life teaching and speaking, that's all I would do. I love it. And yet I get nervous. I get sweaty hands. I probably have only gotten sweaty hands one time for my TEDx. So that was the most nervous I've ever been. I get butterflies. My heart kind of starts beating faster. Sometimes I'm a little lightheaded, all of these things, but it's not because I'm fearful. It's really, I'm so excited and I have that kind of nervous energy. And so sometimes if you're afraid, instead of saying, I'm so nervous, you could say, I'm so excited. And flip that and change that. The battle against fear is in our mind. And therefore, God has given us a tool to combat fear, to get us unstuck. And that is the Word of God. So I want to go to two scriptures that will help us in that we can go back and reference constantly, daily, if we need to. In those times of fear where I need to get unstuck, I know that I need to spend more time with Him. I need to spend more time in meditation, in prayer, so that God can guide me in those crazy escalator step moves that I need to take in life, in business, etc., in my marriage, with my kids, with relationships. So we're going to go to John 16:33. Everything I read is in the New Living Translation, but I want to encourage you to check out a couple translations. I will usually compare the New Living Translation against the King James Version. So it says in John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Thank you, Jesus. A peace of mind, a peace in our soul, a rest in our body. You may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. You will have these hard times and these challenges. But take heart. I have overcome the world. A lot of times we forget that in the end, this is like sneak peek, spoiler alert, God wins. In the end, God wins and Jesus overcomes the grave. So remembering that in this scripture, I have overcome the world. You will overcome the world. We will overcome the world. And it's already been done. So while we think about, I don't know who's going to be president, what's going to happen to our taxes, what's going to happen to healthcare, I don't know if my business will survive because of this. You're right, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know if our business will survive next year, the year after that. But I know that God has overcome the world. I know that God is my salvation. I know that God directs my path. I know that it will be okay. For those of us who are type A, control, we need to have the plan. We need to know what's going to happen. I hear you. It's hard. I'm the same way. It's hard. I don't know what okay looks like, but I know that over the course of my life, in any major situation, major super struggles that I've gone through, and when I have hit rock bottom, I don't know what okay looks like. I don't know what okay will feel like, but I know okay will come. So that's what he's saying here. Remember, I want you to remember this. And a good friend of mine posted this on Facebook, that you are in Jesus. Jesus is in you. Jesus won. It's finished. So rest, abide, find peace in him. Then get up tomorrow, put on those shoes, your sneakers, whatever, your war shoes, and do what is yours to do. Get up tomorrow and do what is yours to do. Stay focused. Stay on the path. Keep moving. Don't let fear paralyze you. The last scripture is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. One of my favorite scriptures. Do not worry about anything. And there's every time I read this in my head, I feel like God is like, Olivia, anything. That doesn't mean don't worry about some things. Don't worry about the small things, don't sweat the small stuff, don't worry about the big things. It says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I'll stress that. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. And my kids have asked me before, but if God is all-knowing and he knows what we need, why do we even have to pray for it? It's about the action and that step of faith. Yes, he may know what we need, and he knows better than we even know what we need. But by coming to him, by laying our burdens down, by opening our mouth, and by asking our Father for what we need, we are showing him that we know not only that he can deliver it, but he will deliver it. It's an act of faith. It's an act of relationship and communion and communication with our God. So tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. We're oftentimes acting and doing and making decisions and going about life based on what we understand. Our little itty bitty puny little brains and the 10% or whatever, I actually just read that that's a myth, but the 10% of the brain that we use that are small, just limited vision, and we operate solely on that, solely on what we know and understand. We have to start operating on a spiritual level. I don't understand this. I'm going to trust God. God, you're telling me to do this and it does not make sense. It doesn't look like it's going to work out. I have added up the numbers. The numbers don't lie, blah, blah, blah. Move beyond your understanding. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I hope that encouraged you. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go and just ready to step into what God has called me to do in this moment, despite what is around us. And I pray that you're encouraged to do the same. God bless you. Sending you lots of love and hugs right now. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to God is CEO. Stay tuned for the next episode and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing.